B-Pod Studios.
Sub. Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no-good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Bill. Nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the snap. Back to pass. Goes Jarrett. Fires. Over the middle. Caught. Touchdown. Patriots. Jacoby Myers with his second touchdown of the day from 5 yards out. First professional touchdown pass of his career. Jarrett Stidham out of Auburn, and the Patriots add to their lead, leading now 20-0.
Jarrett Stidham. Next guy? I don't know. I liked it. What's not to like? I do know Belichick is good. And I think that to me is my takeaway. And how much of that was Stidham, and how much of it is that he's actually has a coach and a program. And on the other side, they have nothing. What was Tom Brady's reaction to that touchdown? I listened to Murray last week while I was off. Interesting. He just showed me the side-by-side video. That was awesome.
And it wasn't just me. I got texted by no less than like 4 or 5 of my friends immediately after. I was like, did you see Brady's reaction?
So good. When Hoyer scored his touchdown, beautiful ball by Hoyer.
Oh, it was great.
On that first touchdown.
Yeah, Brady acts like someone that would win Powerball. Like, woo! Yeah! The Stidham touchdown, he literally mouths, holy Christ. Now, if I'm being fair, if you do it in real time, I think that had more to do with the separation of the wide receiver. I think it was Jacoby Myers at the time that got that. That maybe that's what he's commenting on, because it was a nice play. But still, you pair them up, it's two completely different reactions from Tom Brady.
This is amazing. I saw this live, and I kind of was like, wow, that did seem different. We took calls on the weekend about this from people being like, oh, you can't look into that. I'm rewatching it again. No, you can absolutely look into this.
So good.
Oh, my God. Oh, you put them side to side. This is unbelievable.
He's like, holy Christ, now I gotta listen about this guy.
Yeah.
Here we go again with Garoppolo on us. Holy, good God.
I want my security. I just want to play to like 43, 44. I want to retire here, but now I got to worry about this guy.
All right, phones, as promised. Pete in Rosendale, lead us off this hour. Jimmy, I just froze up. You mind popping him up on line 2 on this very thing? Go ahead, Pete. What do you got?
Hey, guys. I absolutely agree that Belichick has to be here to choose the next guy. But, you know, part of me also wonders, how important is it for Brady to also be here? I mean, not only does the Stidham have zero pressure on him right now, because obviously Brady is, you know, playing really well, but he gets to sit there and watch the greatest quarterback and learn all his tendencies and learn how he, you know, watches film and all that stuff. So what I want to hear from you is, you know, how much is Belichick? Obviously it's mostly Belichick, but how much of it is, you know, Brady also being there?
A little bit, and I want what you want. That's what I would want. I'd want that quarterback to be behind the scenes, in the building, in the film room, on the practice field, at Bill's side, behind Brady. You know, Brady's going to stick his ass in the young guy's face like he did with Garoppolo. I don't think Brady has any interest in grooming the next guy.
Nor should he.
Not his job. Not, and I just don't think his competitive nature, it's just not how he's wired. It's how he shouldn't be wired. Like I have no problem with it. But so the guy's just going to have to stick his nose in Brady's ass and just stand behind him for a couple of years. That's ideal. It's going to be hard to nail it like they nailed it with Garoppolo, presumably, where a guy's here for 2 or 3 years, is ready to roll out, but even just a year, yeah, I'd take it. But, you know, whether you get the guy behind Brady for a year or two is, to me, a distant second to having him here when Bill's here. Have him here when Bill's here, with him looking like you're looking, because you just don't know. You just don't know, because the next guy might be Patricia. Because he was Brady's chief lieutenant. He was next in line. He's the one that, you know, everyone thought was going to be the next guy. And he's a complete clueless buffoon. And if that's your next guy, your next quarterback is may have no chance. Bob in Needham. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Felder, what Dunkin' Donuts do you guys go to? Because I want to know what you and the Sonny Crockett next to you drink every day. Because I want to get some of that coffee. Because let me explain this to you. You had O'Connell, third-round pick, Mallett, a fourth-round pick, Castle, Hoyer, you had Bishop, Jimmy G, who you guys already have in the Hall of Fame.
Not me.
What exactly have they developed? Not one of them left here and was successful. So you're telling me you'd rather have him developing quarterbacks who has none of them that left here have been successful. So you're so assured that he's going to be a great tutorian of making a great quarterback for that. How do you know that?
Okay,
how do
so
you know it's just not all Brady?
I would dispute that none of them did anything. Matt Castle made a Pro Bowl when he left her. People forget this. He went to the Pro Bowl in 08 or 09 with the Chiefs, whichever one. So they turned a seventh-round pick nobody who frankly sucks. Matt Castle sucks.
Yeah, well, you'll get no argument out of me.
Into a Pro Bowler. You won 11 games with him here, and then he went on to make a Pro Bowl. So don't tell me the guy did nothing. The jury's out on Garoppolo, of course. But I don't know. Now, you tell me Bill's whole track record drafting and developing quarterbacks? Not great. Maybe it's just another thing that he's mastered. Maybe it's taken him a while, but maybe he's found something there through all of his successes and failures. The greatest successes, you know, ever maybe in Brady, and he's had his share of failures from what he did to Bernie Kosar in Cleveland, and you know, who was the guy? Phil Cox, was that the guy that he went with? Whatever, the disaster in Cleveland. To Rohan Davey, who sucked and could not play the position, and Ryan Mallett, who could not play the position. He's had his failures, no question. But maybe through, I don't know, being in the league for 40, 50 years, he's figured it out and he's gotten better at it. Because I don't know. I think Garoppolo can play. And it feels like they might be on to something with Stidham. Yeah. All I know is I'll take my chances with Belichick over anyone else.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is the best place to go, and he's the best coach. So you can bring somebody up and you can mold them into the way that you want them to be. And you can have a guy go out who is kind of a bum like Matt Castle and end up giving you an 11-5 season, having a Pro Bowl year when he ends up going to the Chiefs. But what are they really? And what he was lacking was that intangible, the it thing, that will. So you know, the never say die thing that Tom Brady has, that all the greats have. So it's still, in a lot of ways, Mike, it's like rolling the dice. You got to get lucky too. Like the quarterback thing, that intangible, the it factor, you can't coach that. You can't.
So, and I would not treat, and I just, I'm going back through it because I can't remember. Did they draft Brian Hoyer originally? Did he come into the world through New England?
He was either like a seventh round pick or an undrafted guy. But his first organization, I'm very certain, was New England.
Okay, yeah. So I don't know if he was drafted or not, but
he was here in 09.
Brian Hoyer's he's not great, but wherever they got him, it was either late in the draft or as an undrafted free agent or something. You got him from the street, and he's a borderline starter in the league. He's taking teams to the playoffs. Now, you see, your bar is too high on that.
No, my bar is the right bar, because I've been able to watch greatness here for the last 20 years, and I remember watching guys like Steve Young and Joe Montana and Dan Marino and the greats of the greats. Brian Hoyer sucks.
Okay, nah.
They got there because of the defense. You're talking about the Houston Texans team that year, please. That's because of their defense that year.
I'd say Brian Hoyer is a Belichick success story. How did he come into the...
He was an undrafted free agent in 2009.
So you take an undrafted free agent...
And you turn him into a backup quarterback slash whatever he is.
Legit backup quarterback, a guy who was a starter and took a team to the playoffs and won games in the league. That's a success story. That's not a failure.
Castle, too.
Yeah. How many guys?
Matt, what world am I living in now that Matt Castle's a success story in the grand scheme of things?
Yes. Where they're drafted, yes.
Oh, my God.
Where they're drafted, yep.
If you take a seventh-round pick and turn him into a backup quarterback in the NFL who had some success as a starter,
And goes to the Pro Bowl?
Success.
You take a Brian Hoyer undrafted.
Who bowed out of the Pro Bowl that year? He got there by default. I'm going to look that up. He didn't get there on his own merit, please.
What do you mean he didn't get there on his own merit?
He got there because someone bowed out. Matt
Look
Castle
it up.
Made that
I don't
Pro
know.
Bowl in 2009. My ass.
Even if he is a Pro Bowl replacement, a seventh. He
I live in bizarro world now.
No, you don't.
Now Brian Hoyer and Matt Castle are success stories in the NFL.
Yes.
What is this?
From where they're drafted, Murray? You don't get what we're saying?
I do get what you're saying. They still stink. I don't care if they were free agents off the street like Brian Hoyer was.
No. Rohan Davey stinks. Ryan Mallett stinks. Okay. Cliff Kingsbury stunk. Kevin O'Connell stunk. Those guys stunk. Brian Hoyer and Matt Castle were NFL quarterbacks.
Matt Castle, 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions in 2010.
What was his quarterback rating?
Hold on.
Look up that Houston game against Kansas City.
93.
How many turnovers did he have against Kansas City, that wild card game?
That's a success story. It's a success story.
It's a success story because you're a cockroach and you can hang around long enough to keep cashing
easy,
paychecks.
Easy. I was wondering where you were going with that. Brian Hoyer's starter record as a starter is 16-21.
Celebrate losing records now?
No, he was undrafted. He was undrafted.
We're going to celebrate.
You don't
losers.
Get it.
I do.
You
I
don't
do.
Get it. You don't. You think everyone's Tom Brady and everyone's going to beat Tom Brady. That's what you think.
No, I have a real high bar for quarterback greatness, and I've mentioned others. It's not just about
Who
Tom
said
Brady.
Great? If you draft a guy in the seventh round, Matt Castle, you know he never played a snap at SC? Yeah, he was behind Leinart or these other guys the entire
Palmer
time.
Palmer and Leinart.
See, he never. I don't think Castle took a single snap in college. I might have that wrong. I don't know if he's threw a single pass or something like that because he was behind, right, Palmer and Leinart back-to-back and never played. So after 4 years on the sidelines and how many years behind Brady, I can't remember. When he gets a shot in 2008, all of a sudden, they go 11-5 and then he goes to Kansas City and makes a Pro Bowl? Success story.
Yeah.
Yes.
What was he surrounded by talent-wise?
Success story.
Team? Mm-hmm. All right, wait, so we celebrate mediocrity now. That's great. All right, we've become like Jets radio. Do you want to talk up some of the Jets quarterbacks of yesteryear as well? This is unbelievable.
Vinny Testaverde was awesome.
Zach and Bridgewater. Go ahead, Zach.
Hey, Felger, I got a question for you. Why does Brady leaving and Bill coaching up the next guy have to be mutually exclusive? I mean, this has worked other places. Like, who is that guy out in San Francisco? Oh, yeah, yes, Steve Young. Or that other guy from where you're from, Aaron Rodgers. That
Correct.
Worked out pretty well.
So we can do both. No problem. Absolutely. We can do both. And
you're talking about forcing Brady out, though. You don't have to force Brady out to bring in the next guy.
Well, maybe you're right. Ish. I don't know.
So the force out becomes if another team calls him when he's a free agent, 401, end of the league year, and says, hey, we'll give you $40 million guarantee, whether it's the Denver Broncos, the Rams, Bears, whoever, one of these teams, Team X, and he has to go to, he gives the Crafts first right of refusal. That's a ridiculous amount of money. And while the Crafts might do it because they don't want to see Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, retire in a different uniform, how do you think Belichick's going to feel? So that's where the force out can potentially happen.
Okay, so here's to me where you have to make the choice. Maybe you don't have to make the choice on a guy like Stidham, who you drafted in the fourth round. You're not paying him any money. He's not chewing up payroll. And you have him under team control for whatever, 3-4 years. So you can take your time there. What if you really decide to invest high draft? You know, would you be willing to draft a guy in the first round and let him sit for 3 years? And now he makes kind of real money as a first round quarterback. And so then you might be able to make a chance. But the caller's right. I guess you could do both. All I'm saying is, right now, if it comes down to it, and it's Brady or Belichick, and I'm the owner, I'm taking the coach because I need the coach here to pick the next guy. And if Brady wants to stick around for that and be here for that, that's fine. As long as you can afford both. See, they couldn't do that with Garoppolo. They had to make a choice there. Garoppolo was coming to the stage where he was going to get, you know, be franchised or make too much money, and they had to make the call. And if they get in that spot again, you know, if they get in that spot again, you think they're going to do the same thing?
No, I don't.
That's just, you got to think about the next, the next iteration of your team. But the caller's right. If you can thread the needle and do it at the same time, great. That's ideal. We continue with your thoughts on this. We do have to get to McCarthy's baseball team. So let's weigh in on that.
Nice, do we really?
Nice team you got there, McCarthy, oh, right God. After this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
Another ball for him. Boy, 4 in the inning. And the base is loaded again. Here comes Cora.
Oh, yeah.
He has seen enough. Cashner walked the first two. Then he walked Trout. Now he's walked Pujols. In between, a 2-run single by Ohtani. Josh Taylor coming in. Cashner's going to hear it a bit from the crowd at Fenway Park. 3-0, and he leaves behind the bases loaded. We'll be back with more in a moment.
8 in a row. They haven't lost 9 in a row since 2014, I think, when they traded away all those guys, right?
Yeah.
Like, and then they really sucked. That team had no talent. For this team, if they lose to Kansas City tonight...
Well, it's Porcello starting.
Yeah. You know what? This occurred to me, too. If you're going to the ballpark tonight... And I say this without the slightest bit of vengeance or anything else.
Boo their asses.
You should boo their asses right off the field. From the second they show up, you should boo them. Boo. 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 Boo! Boo! Boo them off! Boo them off the effing field!
That happened twice this weekend now, didn't it? Did they get booed off the field on Saturday?
I don't know if they did, but they should have.
Nice team you got there, McCarthy.
Yeah.
Oh, hell of a product they're putting out on a night-to-night basis.
Yeah. Give me your socks takeaway.
Okay, first and foremost, I need to address your role in this, Felger.
Oh, here we go. You want another apology?
No, I demand an apology from you because I hold you personally responsible for yesterday and Andrew Cashner. you told me that Nathan Eovaldi should be moved to the bullpen because who needs a fifth starter, right? Just screw the fifth starter. Just get any beard claws homeless hack out there to take the ball every fifth day, and it doesn't matter, right? Wrong again, because that's what you get when Andrew Cashner or some bum like that is your fifth starter. If you had put Eovaldi back in the rotation, maybe things would have been stabilized. I don't blame you for the whole season. I blame you for yesterday, and I blame you for every 5 days. Apologize to me. Thank you.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Nathan Eovaldi's kind of been pitching well out of the pen, hasn't he?
What does that matter when your starter only goes an inning and two thirds?
Well, that's unfortunate. Like that's
very unfortunate.
That's too bad.
No, he blew it against Kansas City in the game that they should have taken a loss on, that they should have been forced to take a loss on, that they have to replay that last inning or so in a couple of weeks, which was stupid. So he hadn't been all that great either.
Okay, that's why I sort of asked. I thought he had some good outings here recently. Certainly. Not perfect. So he leaked away that KC game.
It's a nice little middle reliever. Yeah. That's what he is, a middle reliever.
Okay. Well, anyway, Cashner's a joke. This guy's a freaking joke, and there's no way around it. So there's no defense. I still think a good reliever is more valuable than a fifth starter. You don't?
At this point, no, because the starters are the problem with this team right now.
Would you rather have, but generically speaking,
yes,
take out the names. Would you rather have a high end eighth or ninth inning guy or a fifth starter?
I would rather have the bullpen guy in that situation.
Thank you.
But not for this team. Not for this team.
Why?
Because you can't get to the eighth inning right now. Your starters suck, and they're the reason why you're not going to make the playoffs. Rick Porcello, Chris Sale, these guys are the reason why you're not making it. Matt Barnes blew another save again yesterday. What does that matter when your starters can't get out of the second inning? You need good starting pitching, even in baseball in this day and age. You need better starting pitching. The Red Sox haven't gotten it. The pitching is the problem with this team. The bullpen's a huge issue, too. Don't get me wrong, Mike. But the starting pitching, that's the biggest problem with this Red Sox team right now.
So I'll be honest, I didn't watch yesterday's game. I didn't even really engage in it.
Oh, you missed another 4 hour of baseball.
I was going to say.
Yeah, 4 hours and 2 minutes. What? I'm sorry. I can't defend it. I can't defend the sport anymore. I'm going to apologize to you and to everybody out
it's
there.
It's just one of those days.
It was too nice, though. Why would you waste your summer at this point watching them make you mad, losing to inferior competition day in, day out?
Even I didn't watch.
I couldn't get there. But
by the way, most of males 25-54, they're not watching either.
But you should see the male 65-plus number, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's like a 9. Yes. The other one is like a 1.
Yeah, they kill it in the pre-dead crowd.
But I did spit out my organic bulletproof coffee this morning reading Dan Shaughnessy. So I didn't even realize this. Cora arrested Mookie Betts. He rested Mookie Betts against a lefty making his second career start.
Oh, it's even better than that.
Hold on, listen. Yes. Chris Owings?
Yep, yes.
Released by the Royals this year, hit in Betts' leadoff spot and went 0-for-5 with three strikeouts.
Struck out with the bases loaded.
Owings fanned with the bases loaded to end the second. I have not only never heard of Chris Owings.
Nor should you.
I don't know, he was on the team. I don't know, like, where did he come from all of a sudden?
He was with the Royals at one point.
Well, as I just read. Yeah. He was released by the Royals this year, but when did they get him? When did they call him up? Why'd they call him up? Why is he here? And why is Mookie Betts sitting out a Sunday afternoon game against a lefty making a second career start when you are still on paper anyway in the wild card race?
Because they're waving the white flag, and Alex Cora doesn't care anymore. I mean, when you put Chris Owings, who, from my understanding,
Chris Owings?
He got on a flight in Detroit at like 5:30 in the morning yesterday. I don't know where the Paw Sox were. I'm guessing Toledo or something like that. They called this guy up. He got on the first flight here, and they just put him at the top of the order, and he went 0-5.
A ball boy had to drive him to the airport at all godly hours of the morning so he could make this 5 a.m. flight.
Seriously?
Yep.
And that's the guy that played?
Yep. Yes. When and let off.
When you're, again,
catching a 5 a.m. flight, you haven't slept, you're getting the leadoff spot. Like, what do you expect?
He goes into Cora's office and says, oh, am I in the lineup? He goes, yep, you're leading off as well, playing second base.
I never heard of this guy.
Yeah, nor should you. They've given up.
Yep.
Matt's right. They've given up.
So they've freaking given up. Tom and Quincy, how'd you feel about the Red Sox this weekend?
Ugh, gross. Mike, honestly, this is so frustrating to me. Like,
as you know, I'm heavily invested in this team, right? And they're putting me through having to watch that slob come out every five games. He sucks, man. Like, he sucks. Not like, yeah, he's okay. No, no. He sucks. Bad. Okay? So, you know, what was yesterday? Inning of two-thirds, I think? Awesome.
Yes, well, so here, yep. I mean, I'll keep you on there, Tom. So just again, reading from Shaughnessy, because I found his column, it had to be more entertaining than the game. Here's what Cashner said, quote, "I think my stuff is really good." He said, "I'm just not getting ahead of hitters. I've been doing a lot. I've been doing this a long time. There's a lot of season left. I might have eight starts left." Shaughnessy writes, "Let's hope not." Cashner exactly. Sunday lasted inning and 230, walked five, hit one, gave up three runs. He threw 51 pitches, only 24 for strikes. He loaded the bases on 10 pitches while recording no outs in the top of the first. In the second, he started the inning by walking a guy hitting 206, then hit a guy hitting one, and then a guy hitting 147. So that was his day yesterday, Tom.
Mike, he's terrible, okay? And all I hear, the guys on the radio and on TV, especially Nesson, which you know how they pump the tires of the Sox no matter what happens.
State-run television.
It's ridiculous because they're like, oh, the next upcoming month, you know, this is where the Sox can make up some ground. Like, they're behind Tampa and New York. New York is a pipe dream. That's never going to happen. They can't catch Tampa either because out of the three of them, the Sox have the hardest road. I think the winning percentage that Sox are going up against is .457. The Tampa is .395.
So it's not, Tom, so, on paper, it shouldn't be over.
No.
It shouldn't be. I'm going to cut you off there. It shouldn't be over. It shouldn't be over. But it is.
It's over.
It is.
It's over.
But it shouldn't be.
No, it shouldn't.
But again, I agree with you. It is. They yep. quit. They didn't quit. You know, they didn't quit this. They quit at the trade deadline.
Yep.
They quit. Flat
they totally
out quit.
I mean, look at the New York Mets. I mean, they've won 15 out of 16 or whatever. They were six out of the wild card. They're right in the thick of things in the National League. On paper and, you know, mathematically, it's not over. But look at this team. Watch them on a night-in, night-out basis. If you can do it, because even I can't do it anymore. Guys, I cannot watch the Red Sox. What does that tell you about this team and the state of baseball right now? If I'm pushing away from the table, I'm like, nope, I'm good. Screw this. If I'm doing that, what's everybody else doing?
Also, be sure to check out McCarthy's Hardcore Baseball yes. podcast.
Where I will be talking about the 2019 Red Sox.
Shaughnessy writes that Cashner is on record as saying he would retire before shaving his beard. Shaughnessy writes, I vote for keeping the beard and retiring. Cashner has started six games since Dombrowski traded for him. He's 1-4 with an 8.01 ERA. He has allowed a whopping 61 base runner. That's unbelievable. 61 base runners and 27 earned runs in 30 and a third innings pitched. 61 base runners.
That's over two innings.
I was going to say, what's his whip?
Oh, my God.
They still compile that. There have been 41 hits, 17 walks, and three hit batsmen. He is also homerlicious. Seven bombs in that 30 and a third. This guy makes Johnny Wayback Wasden look like Juan Marichal. So that's like, you know, people writing this too. It's like the epitaph of Dave Dombrowski, which you want to hear something crazy, McCarthy? I'm not totally in favor of firing Dombrowski, and I don't think they need to blow it up. I think if you bring back the entire same crew, they have a chance to contend next year because the talent's still there. They just quit this year.
What if they're going to trade Mookie Betts, though?
Which is disgusting that they quit, but they did just quit. What if they trade Mookie Betts? Let's pick that up on the other side with your calls. The Brady stuff, the Sox stuff, right after McCarthy's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This time last year, Mookie Betts was on his way to winning the MVP, winning the World Series, and it seemed as though his future certainly would be in Boston. However, Joel Sherman reported that Mookie turned down an 8-year $200 million contract extension offer, and it seems very likely to go to free agency at this point in time. He is a free agent after the coming season, after 2020. And so I was told by sources today that there's a belief in the industry. Now, this is not coming from the Red Sox, but they believe at this point in time that the Red Sox will at least listen, yes, listen, to trade offers for Mookie in the winter.
John Morosi there. Who's he work for now, McCarthy?
MLB Network.
John Morosi, MLB Network, reporting. Those in the industry that believe the Sox are listening on Mookie Betts. Your thoughts, McCarthy? I'll start with you.
Trade him. Absolutely trade him. And here's why. Because I don't think the Red Sox want to pay him. There's been a focus in this town for a long time. Oh, Mookie doesn't want to be here. And hey, that might be true. But just about at every turn, the Red Sox have given this guy a low ball offer. Like 8 years, $200 million. Guy's going to make 10 and 300 plus on the market. Like, that's an insult. They took the guy to arbitration, for the love of God. They haggled him over $3 million. It tells you everything the Red Sox think about paying Mookie Betts. They don't want to pay him 10 and 350 or whatever it is, so you have to trade him. If you don't sign him next offseason, you can't let him walk for nothing. You can't. So you have to trade him this offseason if he doesn't sign a contract.
Yeah, they're going to have to replenish this farm system. They're going to have to find young pitching. This is the best way to do it. You have to move on from him. And deep down, I also think not only do they not want to pay him, Matt, I think that they know deep down he doesn't want to really be here long term. And then he's not going to sign any kind of deal, even if they did put a Manny Machado type deal in front of him. 10 years, $300 million. I don't think he'd do it. So you got to move on.
I only do it if I crush the trade, if I kill the trade. Well, I mean, let me put it to you like this. And be honest, if let's say the Red Sox didn't have Mookie Betts, and next year they are in the pennant race, they're not just in the pennant race, they are a World Series favorite, one of them. Let's say they're a bat short, and Mookie Betts is available for a couple of prospects. Wouldn't we all want the Red Sox to make that trade?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you keep him, right?
I mean, but his value is never going to be higher than this coming off season.
We'll see how high his value is really going to be. Okay, so the prospect-rich teams, McCarthy.
Atlanta.
Okay, so Atlanta might be a good one. But you've got to figure that the teams that he would make sense for have to have the money to pay him. All right? So
sure. What
teams are prospect-rich and have the money to pay him? Because you're not going to send a ton of great prospects if he's just a one-year rental, right?
Right.
So Atlanta's a good – that might be a good one. How's the Mets system? I don't know. So you tell me the teams – that are prospect rich and rich. Because usually the prospect rich teams are don't have the money.
Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yes, the Dodgers.
Number three farm system according to MLB.com.
But that Andrew Friedman, man.
Yes.
So they have the third system still.
Yeah.
So the Los Angeles. So, I mean, I just wonder how many teams really fit that category. Though Atlanta and LA, those might be two.
Yeah.
In fact, John Morosi, play the follow-up on Morosi. He even mentions Mookie Betts' market.
While that may sound absurd, here's the reasoning. You think about the Red Sox pitching staff. Porcello has struggled. Price is on the injured list right now. We've seen Sale have, objectively, the worst year of his career. And if the Red Sox believe that their pitching is simply not good enough looking forward to be able to compete against the Yankees, against the Rays, they may have to make the very dramatic decision if they don't want to extend their payroll further, which, by the way, they're already spending the most money in baseball this year, that one of their best ways to get young pitching in would be potentially, yes, to put Mookie on the trade market this winter. Not to say there's going to be a deal, but I believe, Mike, from what I've been told by sources today, that there's a pretty strong belief at least Mookie will be available. And one team I'll mention, the Atlanta Braves. They've got so much great young pitching. They also have a great young outfielder, Christian Pache, at the top end of the minor leagues. If the Red Sox could get Ian Anderson and Christian Pache, again, they're just prospect names right now, but I believe the Red Sox would have to at least consider it, especially because you think about the Braves' perspective. Mookie's from Nashville. That might be one place where the long-term extension could fit very nicely with Mookie from a geographic standpoint.
So that, to me, is sort of the calculus. You're not going to be able to maximize the prospects in return unless that team feels it can re-sign them.
Right. You're looking at probably two or three teams. And your point is well taken. I mean, the Dodgers, the Braves, maybe the White Sox. I mean, they're trying to really move along this rebuild. They tried to sign Harper. They tried to sign Machado.
I was also going to throw in the Mets. Like, what if they offer you for DeGrom for Betts? Like that, that's something I would consider.
Right. Their system isn't as great, though. It's not like a top 10 system, but it's a fair point.
Okay. So they don't have the system, but... if Mookie Betts isn't going to re-sign there, if he treats the Mets like he would the Red Sox, no, man, I'm not, I'd like to go somewhere else, then why would the Mets give you the top-end prospects? So it's got to be a team that, thinks it can re-sign him. I would think that you would get the most bang for your buck.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's you're dealing with only 3-4 teams. It's not like all of baseball will come calling, given that Mookie Betts is going to get, you know, $300 million. I mean, the Braves, to me, are the perfect fit. They've got a new stadium. They're ready to win now. They've graduated a number of top prospects like Acuna and Albiz. Like, it's a good team moving forward. Betts could be the piece that they feel like would put them over the top.
But here's my deal on the Sox. I'm not trading him for that, for the thing you said. You can't lose him for nothing. Well, if what you're going to get back is mediocre, he's more valuable to you as a piece to go make a run for another championship. Because they should be right in it next year, McCarthy, when they, you know, when they just clear the cobwebs from this disaster and get their act together and actually engage and try. They should be right back in it. They should. The talent's there. And if I'm not going to win the trade, I'd rather have him here for another championship run.
Okay, but if there are pitching prospects on the table for you and you can reset essentially for the next 5 or 6 years, you have to do that. You cannot miss this opportunity because Mookie Betts still is one of the best chips that you have. You cannot let one of the top 10 players in baseball walk out the door for nothing. For what, a chance to, you know, maybe get back in the mix of things? Like, who knows whether Chris Sale's going to bounce back? Who knows if you'll have the pitching next year? Like, I'm not as convinced, Mike, as you are, that the Red Sox are just going to shake this off and be World Series contenders next year. If that offer's on the table, like, of course you don't trade him for nothing. But if that offer's on the table, you need to take it if you're not re-signing him.
And if they're going to do it, that means Dombrowski has to go.
Yes. Oh, so and yes. That's the second point. You want Dombrowski making that call, Murray?
Nope, no. And so I'm kind of with you. Like, this whole thing of him being out, and that seems like a formality at this point. Those that cover the team, from Shaughnessy to John Tomasi, all feel like Dombrowski gone at the end of the year. Does feel kind of scapegoaty. He did what you expected him to do. You got a World Series out of the damn thing. What he's not good at, though, is finding on pitching and drafting. And so if he's going to be out, then that means to me they're going to have to trade Betts or really explore that, because if he's still here, I don't want him within 10 feet of that deal.
So you do feel, and I agree, that those stories are linked. Dombrowski
feels
out, they're trading Betts. You know what I mean?
They should be linked, because if you trade Betts, you can't miss. You can't miss on that. To your point, Mike, like if you're not going to get anything for him, you might as well keep him and let him walk. If you trade Betts, that is a franchise-altering decision, and you better have a general manager who can look, let's just say the Atlanta Braves. They've got 6 top 100 prospects. You need to have the guy that picks the right 2 or 3 of those group. It's not an easy thing to do. Is Dave Dombrowski the type of general manager that can say, you know what, this kid in Double A right now, he's going to be, you know, the foundational piece in our rotation for years to come. We're picking him instead of the other prospect because we like him and get it right. I don't know if Dave Dombrowski is that type of general manager.
No, I don't trust him to do it at all.
Okay, there are Red Sox thoughts. Mix them with our Patriots calls to you. I promise, in our long commercial-free segment next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Felger here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha he he.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, to your phones as promised. The Red Sox stuff with the Brady stuff, which we will reset here coming up. Tom in the car on the Mookie Betts discussion. Yes, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, Felger? Good, 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 good. Hey, you got it somewhat right, Felger. But why Atlanta Braves take Mookie Betts, who everybody thinks is so great? I mean, I don't think he's so great as he's got to be. Take him and package him with a couple other guys and go to the Mets first and try to get a frontline pitcher that's young, like a Jake DeGrom or Syndergaard, or go out to L.A. and get that Walter Buehler guy. I mean, you don't want to settle for prospects, man.
Okay,
winning.
Okay, if I'm the Dodgers, I'm not giving up Walker Buehler for just about anything.
No, and you're not.
That guy's freaking nasty.
You're not taking anything from your big league team. And the Red Sox already made that mistake in 2014, trading big leaguers for big leaguers. If you're going to sell on somebody like Mookie Betts, you trade for prospects, guys that you build around. Do what the Yankees did in 2016 and get Gleyber Torres for Aroldis Chapman. That's what you do. Don't repeat the mistake that the Red Sox made 5 years ago and get Yoenis Cespedes and Joe Kelly and Alan Craig for John Lackey and John Lester. That's not how you do it. That's not how you trade superstar players in baseball. It's not the right approach.
Tony and Holbrook on Brady. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Great show. Hey, guys. I agree with you. It sucks that Brady has to retire, but, I mean, we have to look for the future now.
So, Tony, my only point on that is that I just want Bill making the call. And Thursday night drives it home. And because I'm telling you, I don't know if Stidham's a guy or not. I'm not going to overreact to him on one night. But I don't think I'm wrong to overreact to Bill. And the way the team looked and the way the team looks – and how it just feels...
Well, the culture to nurture the next guy.
Well, I mean, just in a couple of weeks, how they got that kid ready to play. Unless he was closer to being pro-ready than he was advertised coming out of college. He's supposed to have happy feet, supposed to be dancing around, not used to playing under center. You know, a million miles away from having that pro-set sort of drop back, five-step drop, seven-step drop, under center, play action, the way it's played in the pros versus the college ranks, allegedly... He had none of that because he played in one of these stupid spread offenses in college, was always in the shotgun, not much pocket presence, not much poise in the pocket. And then he plays in his first preseason game, and he's under center, play action, seven-step, poise in the pocket, 26-yard drill down the middle into a tight window. It's like, where'd that come from? He didn't, you know, you don't play that way in college. And I look at that and go, is that him or is that they just coached him up? And I'm going to go with the latter for this point. And so that's my only point is that if I'm Robert Kraft, Bill has to, I make sure that Bill drafts, develops, and brings into the world my next quarterback. And if Bill says to me, I got 5 years left, Robert, then fine. They can take their time and they don't have to push Brady out the door at all. But if Bill only has a couple years left, then that's when that gets interesting.
And I think that it's important to Belichick that he wants to try to win without him. I believe that. Like, you know, for all his accomplishments and as great as his resume is, the one thing he hasn't done is win one of these or get really deep with someone that isn't Tom Brady. I think that's important to him. So, again, if a team's going to offer Brady a ridiculous amount of money at 401 at the end of the league year, $35 million guaranteed, the Crafts might want to match it because they don't want to see Brady retire. Will Bill want that? No. And so... what do you do then? That's where it's going to get real interesting.
Derek in Foxborough. Go ahead, Derek, on the Red Sox.
Yeah, you know, it's such a shame, you know. People are lumping in, you know, the offense with the whole team, but they're number two in all of baseball in runs scored, but nobody notices it because their pitching has been a disaster all season. So I would shut out down the entire pitching staff, Sale, Price, Porcelli. Call up the Pawtucket staff. See if you can find somebody because they're, what, 8 games out now. It's not happening this year. They're not going to go on some magical run like the Mets have, winning 15 or 16. So just shut down the entire pitching staff.
Okay.
I'm kind of tired of hearing how good this offense is, too, because, granted, did I watch these games in full over the weekend? No, but I do check in because it's part of the job. I think they were 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position against the crap Angels over the last couple of days. And how many times have you seen stranded base runners time and time again by this underachieving A-hole team this year? Oh, but look at all the runs they've scored in. Yeah, because, you know, look at some of these games. What did they score for? 14, 15 on Friday night? You've had so many of these that it ends up kind of skewing the numbers. They're not clutch. They're not at all.
Yeah, no, that's the huge difference between this offense last year and this year. Is last year, you know, runner at second and third, you know, they knock them both in.
Right, you'd be down 5 runs in the 8th inning. They'd still come back to win the damn
this
thing.
Year, they're a front-running offense. Like, they turn 8-3 games into 15-3 games. But if it's a 3-2 game, they don't get a hit.
Great. Bob and Easton, our buddy. Hi, Bobby. What do you got?
Listening to this show this time of year is like shopping at Building 19. Good stuff, cheap. You know, first off, Felga, I mean, do you believe Brady thinks Stidham is a threat? Do you really believe that?
No.
Okay, because the way you guys were talking earlier with the side-by-sides, because if Brady thought he was a threat, the last time I think Brady actually felt threatened was Garoppolo. And remember what he did that preseason?
Yeah,
he took every snap from that kid.
Bobby, I don't even think he felt threatened with Garoppolo. I think he's bugged by it. I think it bugs him. And you know what? Well, obviously in a good way.
But here's the thing. So, you know, Felga, you one side of your mouth you crush Patricia and the Lions and how they're just a fat oaf of a team and they're pathetic, right?
Yep.
But then you're going to wax poetic. Well, how Stidham plays against that team, who probably 95% of them will probably be on Route 1 with me collecting cans and bottles, okay?
Right, but so, see, to me, the point, Bob, is...
down?
No, the gap is your program versus theirs, which is a jumping-off point to your program versus the
but
league.
But how many times, Felger, have we done this? Wasn't Brissett supposed to be the same thing? I mean, let's calm down a little bit here. Let's you know, slow it down.
Okay, I'm not telling you Stidham's the guy. I don't know if Stidham's the guy. Bill is. That's what I'm telling you. Bill's the guy. Make sure he makes the call. Make sure he's still here when you have to make the call. Maybe that's now. Maybe that's now. Brady's house is on the market. Guerrero's house is on the market. Zoe's putting his house on the market. He's out of here, too. He wants to follow those guys. I'm joking about Zoe. But you know that, I mean, so maybe that time is now. That all I'm saying is that Thursday night was another little jumping off point, just a little fake football, small reminder of what you got going on here and how much and how important I think it is that Bill is the one to bring the next guy into the world. Because I think in that short little fake football sample, they coached Jared Stidham up to make him look like an NFL quarterback. We can all agree with that.
Yeah.
Whether that competition was good or not or what
nothing
he ends up.
Nothing looks sped up for him, and you typically see that with a rookie quarterback.
Okay, and I'm sorry. I'm going to give the credit there to the coach and not the actual player because I'll just defer to Bill on that.
Well, and plus listening to Zoe and Beadle when they've been down at camp day after day, all I keep hearing is, oh, Stidham don't look that great. Bad throw by Stidham. Like, they're talking about it in real time. That's one of the things. I was like, I thought this kid kind of sucked based on everything I've heard.
Looked like a pro quarterback. Played like a pro quarterback. Under center, the footwork was good. The poise in the pocket was good. Those are all the things that we were told he didn't have. And I don't know if that was a bad scouting report, because I bet if I turned on a game from Auburn last year, I'd see him running around with his head cut off, like all these guys in college. The stupid spread offenses. So, you know, like, overnight, the guy looks like he should look in the NFL in his first game. Better than that. Is that him, or am I going to give him the credit? Like, did he always have that in him, or did he get into the right program? They coach him up. And so that's really, again, the point from Thursday night. That Bill's got to be the guy to bring the next guy. Maybe the next guy's even better. I don't know if Stidham's good or not. Maybe they invest real draft capital or real capital in a guy that they really believe in, as opposed to the flyer territory, which is what the fourth round is. And Bill gets his hooks into someone who can really actually play. Then what? I just want that happening with Bill and not Josh McDaniels or your version of that fat slob. I'll say it again, Matt Patricia. Because that scares me. That the next guy is closer to Patricia than he is Bill. And that's probably what it's going to be if the odds are, you know, that's probably what it's going to be. And then what? That quarterback, that young quarterback doesn't have a chance, but he does under Bill. So we'll pick it up with that. More game thoughts from Thursday night. The Patriots at this stage. After McCarthy's 90-second update, there are no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.